So, Gats here, if you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know, your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Battery start at just $79.99. They also have curbside pickup on any order. Enter the code DAN20 when you buy online to save 20% on your order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details.
It's the Shipping Container, freaking with you on a Friday. We're going to try to do things a little bit old school today. We got the whole crew, Mike, Ryan, Chris, Tony, Roy, and Billy. Mike, Ryan, you are at the home base. How is this going to work trying to take some calls today?
Well, I have a call board, and whenever you want to toss to a call, I can tell you what's on the board. Not on the board right now are any of the chronics. Any of the Lower Rangers, we sent out a tweet soliciting new calls. Everyone was, I've been actually pleasantly surprised in my time coming back to the studio. You'd think people would know, hey, Mike's in the studio. Let me just give it a ring to see really one or two calls that I don't answer. So you threw out the bait and we have a bunch of new calls, which is actually pretty good. We have a couple of interesting topics out there and a bunch of brand new cities.
I'm down to do it. Tony. You got a look on your face like this is going to work really well.
I do. I have a lot of faith in the system and a lot of faith in Mike to be able to spin a lot of different plates at the same time. He's been doing them for the last 3 months. Why can't he do it now?
Firecracker now, line is still very much a firecracker line, guys. I checked it and it still sounds like crap. I'm a little bummed because... All right, so when I came in on Monday, nothing was working. They did a test on Friday, and I guess they were really proud of themselves for hooking up a laptop for HQ to an Ethernet cable. And it was like, honestly, I got a text saying, hey, we're dialed into Bristol. The talkback doesn't work, but you'll figure it out. I come in here, and I know they don't test anything because like none of the breakers are on. I try to flip a light, and I'm like, well, that's going to be a problem. So systematically, we fix everything. Right now, the only thing that's not working are the parking cards to our garage, which I'm sure they'll get around to. But the biggest bummer is no DirecTV. And there's golf going on right now.
Yeah. You have money on it.
There's golf that I would like to actually watch sports from work. And let me tell you something. This needs to get fixed by the time Premier League comes back in a few days.
Now, how have you felt about the status of just like how clean everything is at the Clevelander? Are you walking into are you walking in there every day feeling safe or do you feel like a little icky?
Well, I'm kind of unsure what I should say. They are definitely cleaning every morning. I came in here and the floor was wet. And I was like, what does that smell? Cause you know, sometimes some cleaning products don't smell so nice. And then I realized my daughter threw up all over my pants. I'm like, oh, it's me. So I'm like, oh man, it smells a little bit like vomit. But yeah, it's me. It's actually quite clean. And thankfully they leave the board to me because that would always be my fear because there's so many different things I had to do to this board that if someone changes one thing, it's going to take me a minute to figure out what happened because I spent like 3 hours trying to get it just right so we can get to the point that it is now. But yeah, the studios are very clean. I got a measuring tape and I made sure mic to mic, Dan and Stu are 6 feet apart. They are wearing their masks for the most part during the commercial breaks. That's one of those things that's easy to forget when you're in a conversation. But we're adhering. We're taking our temperature every day. They gave us a bunch of rules, and we're following them to the best of our ability anyways.
Well, let's get to a call because I can see the look on Roy. Roy looks tired because he was up late watching Dave Chappelle. Billy seems like he's ready to talk to some callers, keep him on a little too long. Billy, you ready?
I'm ready.
That's very enthusiastic. I believe him. Real quick, though, can we talk a little bit of local sports before we get to the calls? It's a local hour. Go ahead, Chris. Say it again because...
I said let's do it. Lords, local sports.
All right. Yeah. All right. So one of the things with the Zoom, and I feel bad for Billy because he was victim to this most, on the Zoom... Try not to talk over somebody else talking because Zoom prioritizes audio. So if Dan is talking or I'm talking, they're going to take like the stronger sound on the board or the one that started first. And then sometimes it happens where you try to make a point and then you end up being Show Killer Jr. as we just had that awkward moment.
we'll just figure this out. Like a couple months down the road, we'll figure this out and we'll get it down.
It's been pretty seamless here in the studio. We got it wired through the board and Billy's been jumping in and it's been like, oh my God, we've been missing that for so long. But I want to talk about local sports real quick because MLS had a random draw for their MLS's back tournament. What an awful name for a tournament. At least call it re-tournament. Do something better than MLS's back. Because I feel bad for the team that wins this thing because they're going to have, like, in their trophy room, oh, yeah, remember, we won the MLS's Back Cup back in 2020. We're MLS's Back Champions. It's such a horrible name. How is this the winner? I don't understand. And we're supposed
to... Oh, I love it. I love it.
Was that Billy's dog?
Yeah. Billy's dog. Maybe the dog's in trouble.
Billy's
but
dog.
I think I'm excited about the tournament because I mean, I'm actually, you know what? I take that back. I'm kind of excited, but I want to go to games. So until I actually get to go to a game, I don't know if it's going to feel like a first season of, you know, Billy, is everything good with your dog?
Huh?
Is everything good with your dog?
Yeah. It's just the morning when all the dogs go out. So every time he hears a door open or a dog run by the door, he gets excited.
Chris, I actually have some information on the MLS's back, and we're losing games, obviously, as season ticket holders, but we only lose at most like two games. I don't know how the home and away thing falls, but the group games count towards regular season, so those are regular season games. We're losing at least one home game out of this bunch, but then the knockout rounds do not count for the regular season set, so there's still a chance to get some games in. Either way, it's going to be a pretty congested fixture list if it does come back to Florida. You got to figure our state would be one of the first back in allowing live attendance if we even want to bring ourselves to going to games.
What does our best sports day look like in the coming months? Like, paint the picture for when all the sports are finally back. We're going to have a day where we have this NBA playoff matchup, the final round of this golf tournament. Like, I just feel like we've made it through the tough time. I mean, I don't want to say that. I mean, obviously we still have this going on, but like, as far as sports being done, we've made it through it and we're going to have some good sports days coming up.
I don't know where baseball falls into this, but I think in late July, there's a chance that top flight European soccer is going on. The MLS is back. Tournament is going on. NBA is starting up July 30th. NASCAR appears to like never stop racing. There should be some golf going on there. So I would say end of July, which historically has been the worst time in sports. End of July now all of a sudden becomes like the most happening sports time. Is baseball going to end up happening? I don't understand. They seem like they were ahead of the game. They were doing all this antibody testing. And I was like, wow, Manfred really got his bleep together. And now, tale as old as time, players and owners can't agree. And are you down for an 89 game season or 79 game season, whatever they're talking about?
I want as small a season as possible, right, Billy? I mean, I just think that the Marlins actually have a chance. That's why I actually saw the Marlins drafted this pitcher that supposedly they shouldn't have taken third overall, but they took him because he's the most major league ready. And I saw David Sampson, I believe, I saw a clip from his show, and he was saying that he thinks that the Marlins are actually, in a way, going for it with that pick. Because they said, you know, they could throw him in the bullpen this season if they happen to get hot. So, like, look, the Marlins are going for it. The Marlins, David Sampson said legitimately that the Marlins are going for it this season.
You don't believe that, right? You don't.
Why would he? But why would he say that? Because he hates the Marlins.
I mean, he could say that, but you don't believe that the Marlins are going to compete, do you?
I mean, I'm just saying the smaller the sample size of the season, the more likely chance they are to compete. That's all I'm saying.
But they do have a better chance of competing if the season's shorter, right? I mean, they're going
to
be...
Not if they get off to a really bad start, then they're out of it even sooner.
Yeah, understand. But you could say that about anybody. But if you're a bad team, you want fewer games because if you have the 162-game season, the likelihood is that you're going to be back more games. Granted, it's all relative, right? So you'll have fewer games to make up the games. But if you're just treading water, say you're three games under 500 after the first couple of weeks, it's not really, damn it, we're done. This team is running away with it. And
I mean,
you finish like a third of the season at that point.
Yeah, but let's say they expand the playoff teams and they're like an 8 seed. Like, an 8 seed in the NBA doesn't really have a shot at winning the NBA title, so what are we really going to celebrate?
An 8 seed in the NBA does not really have a shot at the title. However, in baseball, it absolutely does. The Marlins themselves have two World Series championships as a wild card team, as the last team in. Granted, this
those
is eight teams
were a lot more talented than this team. This team does not, like, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm just like being realistic. Like, even if they make an expanded playoff or whatever, they're not going to win the World Series.
No, I think that's a pretty safe bet that the Marlins are not going to win a World Series. But this is all about being excited about watching your teams and feeling like they're into it. Obviously, a fraud team is going to creep into the playoffs. A fraud team that, if this were a 162 game season, wouldn't stand a chance, might pull off an upset, because that's the nature of baseball. You can get hot, you can have a pitcher that's in the zone, and you can make a run. This champion, I think, historically is going to be viewed as, okay, maybe that one's not one that we hold in as high regard as some of the 162 game stretches. But from a fan standpoint, I think I'm into this, knowing that my team isn't that good. I'm like, okay, well, they're expanding the playoff teams and they're making the season shorter. Just on the surface alone, that's a better shot for the Miami Marlins to have a more intriguing season, right?
I don't think they're going to figure it out. I don't think they're going to figure it out. I think baseball got screwed, because I feel like if basketball or hockey would have happened at the beginning of their seasons, they would have run into similar issues, but they got like 80% of the way through the season. So they got all that revenue, where baseball, it's like, all right, well, no concessions, no fans, nothing all season.
Yeah.
We still want all the money. Figure it out.
Yeah. It's a huge hurdle. However, MLS figured it out. They were two games into their season, and they didn't even ratify their CBA. They were working under a handshake agreement, and they had to negotiate a whole new collective bargaining agreement with this being part of it. Granted, MLS Players Union, not nearly as powerful as the MLB, because you have super agents pulling the strings there. It's a bummer, because I think that sport's going to have a real tough time if they take another season off while everybody else is back. People are going to start prioritizing sports, and maybe they discover something new. All right, let me tell you guys about the caller board real quick. We have someone from South Bend, Indiana. We have someone from Indiana. They told me the city, but I didn't hear them, and I was just like, I'll just write Indiana. We have someone from Seattle. We have someone from OKC. We have someone from Boca. And we have someone from Kentucky.
Wow. Roy, what are you feeling of that group?
Let's go with the guy that's from Indiana, not South Bend, but Indiana. Oh,
this is a great one, because his topic seems so boring. He's like, I want to talk about how important pollination is and watermelon pollination and how we serve everybody in the world and we're not getting the respect we deserve. So this is a perfect call for us to go to first. Jacob, you are on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
I mean, we wanted to make it quicker, because if we're just all talking over each other and saying, hey, just go with it, Jacob.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just wanted to bring a little attention. I mean, you oversold it a little bit, but the unsung of our agricultural world are the pollinators that contribute to producing those fruits and vegetables that we like to eat so much. And my project focuses on watermelon specifically. I'm a PhD student at Purdue University.
Cool. Thank you for doing that.
I have a question. I have an important question. Am I allowed to swallow black seeds of a watermelon?
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah. Those seeds will pass through you, no problem. You won't be able to digest them. So if you're really, interested in investigating, you can probably find them out the other end. But they'll pass through you, no problem.
What's the hardest seed to pass?
I mean, have you seen like a peach pit? That would be pretty painful, I would guess.
Maybe.
Never tried.
What were to happen to me if I swallowed the pit of an avocado?
Don't you think it'd get like stuck in your throat somewhere?
Let's just say I'm able to power it down.
Well, that's pretty hard, that surface. So I would guess a lot of those seeds just are designed to pass through you, no problem. Just because a lot of seeds rely on animals, a lot of times those smaller seeds, birds, to pass through the system. The bird flies away before it passes, and that way that seed can start in an area where there's no other competing plants out there. So a lot of the nature of seeds that they can pass through animals' digestive system without those kind of issues. But yeah, I couldn't say that one specifically.
Jacob, what kind of advancements are there in watermelon growing? Because I've seen occasionally pictures on Twitter of square watermelons, and this seems to change the game. What sort of creative things can you do with the growing of watermelons?
Well, I think, you know, those squares are just trying to take advantage of just people who are growing tired of that old school circle, you know, oval shape, and they, you know, it's kind of just a fad. But really, what I think is important is looking at growing them more sustainably. You know, I'm going to handily direct you back to pollinators, because a lot of the time we're putting insecticides because we're thinking, oh, bugs are bad, we want to control the bad bugs. But in a lot of our fruits and vegetables, for every one pest insect that might be a problem, there are hundreds of insect species that are beneficial, or we don't even know the role they play. And so looking at reducing or only putting insecticides on when they're necessary to save some of those beneficial insects, I think is one of the, you know, it's not the sexiest advancement, but I think it's a really important one to think about as, you know, more populations grow, food security, things like that, to consider that we should be growing fruits and vegetables as sustainably as possible.
What is the sexiest advancement?
Well, I mean, if you ask me, it's what I focus on. So I would say, you know, making watermelon fields and vegetable systems that are most beneficial to insects, I would say, is the sexiest thing. But, you know, a little biased, I would say.
I would say
it makes that sexy.
Yeah.
Like, does that arouse you?
Well, I mean, you know, sexy in the form of that we're trying to make big sweeping changes, and, you know, you one person might consider that boring or stuff, but most of my time it's my job, you know, so you got to be excited and passionate about what you do every day, or every day is not going to be a lot of fun. I'm sure you're totally about the job you guys get to do. Ton of fun, right?
I guess sometimes. What's your take on cutting out a little hole in the watermelon and putting a full handle of vodka into it?
In my experiences, a pretty good night. You know, since I grow watermelons, I have a lot of excess, and so we've, you know, cohorts of mine, responsibly, of course, have experimented with some of those mixing some alcohols in watermelon, and usually it's a good time. So nothing too reckless has ever come from it.
All right, Jacob, thank you so much. Wait, real quick before I let you go, what's the best strategy? Should I leave it overnight if I put the full handle of vodka into it? Should I refrigerate it? What's the proper technique here when putting a full handle of vodka inside a watermelon?
I would say fridge and overnight, because if you just, like, pour it in too quickly and then, you know, you try to blend it or take the chunks, it'll just be watermelon that kind of tastes like vodka, and then just the juice of the melon will just be too strong of vodka. So at the time, you know, you have to think ahead of the game, but it's definitely worth starting that earlier.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Jacob. Hey, guys, real quick, bringing it back to sports. Let's cover
I liked his energy, by the way.
That was a good first call back.
He was very passionate about that.
I mean, it's pretty absurd. He called something sexy, and I still have no idea what's sexy about it.
I mean, he likes it. It's, you know, he's passionate about it. And we shouldn't knock passion.
No. Right, and that was the boring topic.
Well, then I was going to go with heat, but I can't really follow the watermelon pollination. So,
what do you have on the heat? What do you have on the heat?
Well, I don't know if you've seen this thing. Like, it spread. It was fairly obvious, right? Shams talked about it on his podcast that the Miami Heat are obviously targeting Giannis. But in addition to Giannis is a name that we kind of assumed would be in the works because of his relationship with Dwayne Wade, and Dwayne Wade is always working behind the scenes. I don't know if it gets as many people as excited as it does with, like, Bradley Beal by comparison, because he's been hurt. But Victor Oladipo, I think, is a very interesting player for the Miami Heat. They have the connection with Tom Crean. Victor Oladipo considers Dwayne Wade a mentor. It feels as though Dwayne Wade's been working this angle for quite some time. So you would have Oladipo, Jimmy Butler, Giannis to pair with Bam, because I think Bam's already in the conversation as being like one of those guys. If he were a free agent, you'd be salivating over him because he's one of the more versatile defenders out there. I also think in the NBA in particular, this whole neutral site thing really helps the lower seeds. Really helps the lower seeds, especially in elimination games where it's almost impossible to win an elimination game on the road because of everything that goes into that. You have a level playing field. I really do hope that they draft the hotels and resorts because that is some sort of advantage. But I think the Miami Heat are well positioned. And if they're restarting the season and you want to be a homer about it, Miami Heat were playing their best basketball at the beginning of the season, right? They lean on their conditioning. They always like to hit the ground running and get the good start. So I think the Miami Heat are pretty well positioned under this circumstance, probably better than they would if it were held the traditional way.
I mean, I saw ESPN had them at like 2% chance to reach the conference final. That was just I would understand that if that's reaching the finals, but reaching the conference finals 3%. I mean,
I don't really
a little low. Maybe I'm biased.
I don't really know how they come up with that formula because there's so many unknowns in regards to this whole. What do they call in this tournament? This is just the regular NBA playoffs and not NBA is back or returnament.
I mean, you also don't even know who's going to be playing. Some players make it seem like they don't want to go into the bubble. So,
yeah.
And they're not going to force them to go into the bubble if they don't want to. Just not going to get paid.
Billy, did you see the exciting news, though? They're expanding the rosters and guys like J.R. Smith and Jamal Crawford.
I saw Mario Chalmers to get back in.
Begging on Twitter for a spot.
I want Rio to come back. I like the expansion of the rosters. When they get in the playoffs, they're going to tighten it up anyways, but it'll be cool to see J.R. Smith jacking up some shots.
I know we've already discussed this, but it needs to be brought up again. With this whole Disney format, like they need to have a character in on each team, and he has to play 4 minutes a game. I don't care.
In full costume?
Yes, in full costume. Please, that would be so funny.
Who would be your first draft pick? Because you'd probably want a costume that's a little bit lighter, can have the player move around a little bit better.
I think I'm going Goofy. He's like a stretch four. Like I don't know if Goofy can hit the three. If he can hit the three, that's a stretch four.
You want like a Peter Pan or something that's just like in tights, can jump off things.
No superhero powers.
What superhero power does Goofy have? He's a dog.
I'm just saying Peter Pan isn't allowed in this game because he has superpowers. Or he could be in the game, but he can't use. Obviously, he can't even flying around the court.
Why not?
Don't be ridiculous, Billy.
It's a travel.
No, it's not a travel if you don't put your feet down. It's just one long step.
Agree to disagree.
I mean, if we're doing this just based on super advantage, Tinkerbell, actually. If you're familiar with her work.
Tinkerbell couldn't lift the ball.
Tinkerbell's, wasn't she like knocking people out? Isn't she like super strong for her size?
She's
pound
a
for
pixie.
Pound. Yeah, but pound for pound, she's got a lot of power and she could just spray like fairy dust on you and you'd just be like, whoa, what am I doing? I've lost control of my body.
That reminds me of yesterday's And Finally. That was crazy that an ant can never die from falling from a distance because their speed can't get fast enough to kill them. Like imagine having that ability. Like I could just jump off of a building and my weight would never allow me to gain the speed to die. Like it's essentially you can fly.
It would make you so fun at parties. Like look what I can do. And not tell anybody before it. You sort of scare the shit out of everybody and then you're like, whoa, how'd you do that? This guy's a witch of some sort.
I feel like being an ant wouldn't be the worst thing in the world outside of the chance of getting squashed and stepped on at every moment.
Yeah, but if you were your size and you replicated the strength, because how many times their own body weight can an ant lift up? If you were straight up, Ant-Man's got some pretty cool powers. And if Ant-Man can fall from any height, that's pretty gnarly. You want to go to another call?
Oh, let's do it. We had a good, I almost want to just leave it at Watermelon Guy because we had such a good one, but like, right. I say we keep it going.
Well, I can tell you about the topics this time too. One person from Seattle is just asking meekly if we can bring back Wake and Take. Mitch in OKC wants to talk about smells. David in Boca has a cool story about catching a monumental Barry Bonds home run. And John in Kentucky is on his first day at work and wants to ask us for some advice and our experiences.
Roy?
Bonds home run.
Bonds home
run. That's what
I was
thinking too.
I was hoping you would go in there.
I'm just going to get out on the front end of this. I'm not sure that I believe this guy. Because anyone can say that they caught a monumental Barry Bonds home run. And what are the monumental Barry Bonds home runs, right? There's 73. There's the one that whatever, 7-16, right? What are the numbers? I don't even know. What's the record? 763 or something like that?
I'd say the round numbers, right? No?
I mean,
okay.
Like
756.
What is 740? What is that? That's who cares?
Yeah, that's very true. And good news, Roy selected someone that's on the firecracker line. So everyone get ready to have some nostalgic feelings. David in Boca, you are on the air.
Hey, David in Boca. I caught Barry Bonds'
400th home run in 1998. It was a September day at Pro Players Stadium. And I was sitting in right field, I believe. And let's see, I caught the ball. I was about 9 years old, something like that. And it was the year after, you know, the Marlins won the World Series and they had the fire sale. So my parents were getting tickets left and right. And so Barry Bonds comes up to bat. The ball bounces a couple of times. I catch it, and I'm just a kid. I don't know what's going on. And I throw the ball to my dad, who has my little brother in his hand. And it's his 400th home run. And if he didn't know this, Barry Bonds is the only player to have 400 home runs and 400 stolen bases. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. And so I didn't know how monumental of a home run this was. I was 9 years old. And so there was people offering my dad and I cash on the stands, and my dad wanted to keep it. So then security escorts us down to the Giants locker room. And let's see, I meet Oral Hershiser. Barry Bonds plays a few more innings. I take a picture, and that's the proof that I have this home run. And I'll tweet it out later today to you, Billy, so you believe me.
You know what? I believe you. Story checks out. I just Googled it. He did do it a Pro Player. He is the founding member of the 400-400 club. So where's the ball now? Do you still have it, or
what? Well, no, we gave it to Barry Bonds, and cool story.
Oh, what a mistake.
No, we gave it to Barry Bonds, and let's see, my cousin, my aunt and uncle wanted to adopt the baby, and they didn't have the money to do it. So Barry Bonds was able to give us a check. And the Giants was able to give us a check, and we were able to do that. It also helped help my family out a lot at that time in my life, so we're very grateful for it. You know.
All right, but, well, that's a good development. I thought you just gave it to him for a picture.
Right.
No. I think I have two autographed baseballs as well. My father has them, and you know, I'll probably tweet them out to you guys later.
If I was recasting Sesame Street, I would interview this guy for a chance at voicing a character. All right.
Okay.
Would you agree that that's a monumental home run, Billy?
Yeah, 400-400. He's the first guy ever.
Specifically because it was a 400-400 club. If he didn't have the other 400, then is it monumental?
400. I mean, I don't know, because 700 hasn't gotten him into the Hall of Fame, so 400, you know.
400 club, though. It'd be worth something, not as much, though, without those stolen bases.
Is he still on the line?
No, I said goodbye to him. Why? What would you ask him if you had the opportunity?
I was going to ask him without giving us, like, a particular number if he thinks that, you know, he made out. Because he probably made out well then compared to if he were to sell that home run now, you know what I mean? Like, day of, he got a check for it. I wonder what a Barry Bonds 400 home run ball would go for now. So he probably sold high on that.
That would have been rude if I asked exactly how much.
No, I said I'm not going to ask him how much. Yeah. I'm just wondering. I think that he did a good job. He sold high and you know.
Well, I'm talking it out with you because I kind of wanted to know exactly how much, but I knew that would be rude to ask. You covered our bases for us there, Billy, and I appreciate it, but I do kind of want to know. Sir, when you tweet us the photo, can you just let us know the total?
No.
We could have asked him to ballpark it.
You proud of yourself?
I mean, come on. That one was kind of good. We were talking baseball.
Yeah. You guys like those hot dogs with the cheese inside?
Literally inside the hot dog?
Yeah, yeah. There's hot dogs that have cheese inside. I don't know if they still make them. They
Cheddar Brats.
Like, huh?
Cheddar Brats. Right.
Is that what they're called? I feel like that, because you said ballpark, and I feel like Ballpark Franks used to make some of those, and it has like cheese in it, and then as you heat it up, the cheese kind of melts, you know? So you're eating a hot dog with cheese in the middle.
I want to bring back a conversation that we had on text earlier this week. I was asking, because I know
seems like no one's had those.
I mean, Roy had the cheddar brats. It's a mission. I texted Chris and Billy because we do this running bit about heist movies. We love a good heist movie. And I asked him if Inception was a heist movie. And I could only have this conversation with Anthony because Chris and Billy hadn't seen Inception, which I've kind of found out. Inception was a pretty big movie. Anytime Christopher Nolan does anything, people rush to the theaters to see it. Or you would have thought that someone would have caught it on one of the movie channels, or now it's on Netflix, and I think it's having a nice little moment because it's one of the more streamed movies on there. But you guys haven't seen Netflix, and zero interest in getting into it. What's prevented you from watching Inception, Chris?
I remember it being a thing, and I don't know, like, I know I do the heist movie thing with you guys, but I don't know, it just never did anything for me. I was never that into watching Inception.
Yeah, same, I don't know. I mean, it just seemed long, and everybody was talking about how I was like, oh, back in, it's confusing, and this, and I'm like, no, thank you. We're good, Leo. I don't need to check this one out. Another one that I haven't seen, which I feel like, I don't think I can admit, because it's the biggest movie ever, and I think it's a Disney movie. I've never seen Avatar.
I will not walk back my Avatar take just because Disney acquired Avatar. Did not like Avatar.
Oh, wow.
I did not. And it almost stopped holding up immediately. Everyone was like, wow, these graphics are crazy. The CGI, it's unbelievable, groundbreaking. And it took so long in post-production that I think the rest of Hollywood already caught up. So by the time it came out, I was like, what's so crazy about this? You're not missing anything on Avatar. Now, James Cameron, once again, is taking about 12 years to make the new Avatars, and he's going to run into the same problem. It's like, look at all this groundbreaking stuff. This was so groundbreaking in 2015 when I started making this film. And then by the time it gets released, which is probably going to be delayed even more now because everyone's delaying their movies, including Christopher Nolan, that it's not going to hold up. You got something on this, Anthony?
I do. I'm ashamed to have these guys as friends not watching Inception, which is a classic of our time. I don't know if there's a movie that has quite held up in this new age better than Inception, right? Like, it is a time mental heist movie with great acting in it. The scenes are really cool. I'll send you guys something on Instagram where it shows you, and Mike, you'll know what I'm talking about, when they have the scenes where somebody's waking up and then the entire scene starts going like this and sideways and upside down and stuff. There's a cool way that they filmed it where they were actually on a set that had like hydraulic pumps that moved it up and down. So they were actually acting as the scene was going crazy. So,
I mean, Anthony, with all due respect, and I'm an Inception fan, but if you want to give them credit for being groundbreaking in that respect, who directed the Bye 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 music video? Because Wayne Isham, wow, I believe, was the groundbreaking pioneer in that regard, in terms of acting out an entire scene with an entire set moving. Also, what happened to Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah, what did happen to him?
I think I realized while you guys were talking why I didn't have any interest in Inception. I hate movies that at some point at the end, somebody wakes up and the whole thing was a dream. Okay, that's just such an overdone way to do a movie, and I felt like Inception is just, that's just going to keep happening throughout this entire movie.
I don't want to spoil it, because if you guys do want to get around to this,
it seems like that happened. Does that happen? The whole thing's fake.
It's quite the, all right, so Inception, most people in our audience have seen Inception. So Inception has one of these ambiguous endings, but it's funny that you're saying that, because it's almost quite the opposite. The whole payoff is, Someone went to sleep. You don't know. You don't know. It does hold up quite well. The acting in it is quite good. The CGI in it and the special effects, they combine CGI with, you know, your more traditional Hollywood effects, and it's quite good. But also, let's stop making Christopher Nolan this big groundbreaker when whoever directed Bye 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 was the first to do it.
If you want to have a realistic dream movie, it needs to be where you wake up and you just remember some weird detail, but that's all you remember from the dream.
If you want a realistic dream movie, you wake up and there's no ending and you're like, crap, I need to go back to sleep. I don't remember what happened.
Why was my third grade teacher in this dream? Like, that's a dream.
Dude, after I watched Inception, because I started it on Saturday and I finished it on Monday. I have like three different things like that, by the way. I need to finish the
Lighthouse. I don't get you and Dan's viewing habits where you guys watch things 5 minutes at a time and it takes you like 4 weeks, but you're watching four things simultaneously. Like, just sit down and watch a movie all the way through and stop jumping back and forth between show and show and movie. And we just get through one thing at a time, and then, you know, you can enjoy it all. You take notes. How do you even remember what happened?
Totally.
I can't remember season to season. How do you, like, you're sitting down watching this movie that's about jumping around in dreams and walls spinning and the floors on the side and all that crap. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, let me catch up. Oh, first, let me check my notes to make sure. Just too much effort. Just sit down and watch the movie.
Totally fair. Last night, I watched a movie start to finish, which is cool. But I think what's happening here is, I don't know, I can't make excuses for Dan. What's solely happening with me is my baby's starting to crawl, and that is making it kind of impossible. Also, I ran into a situation with The Lighthouse, which is a very odd movie, where my wife was like, I don't want to watch this anymore. You finish it on your own. So I have to watch that one in parts, because every time my wife comes downstairs or I'm in bed and I want to watch The Lighthouse, she's like, I don't want to watch that crap. So I have to fragment that. Space Force, I was watching. I was like, I can watch this any time of day. Inception, that's a nighttime movie. I'm not going to watch this one during, and the Jeffrey Epstein thing is, I'm just watching that in 7-minute increments, because I am not watching that binge style. It is way too heavy. I was like, okay, let's turn this off. I need to go to Space Force. I need something lighter. I need to watch 7 minutes of Inception. But I think part of it is kids, and part of it is just the subject matter. Lighthouse is so weird, and Jeffrey Epstein is just way too heavy. So I need to break it up. I am with you, though. Also, Bandersnatch, avoid it at all costs. Avoid it. Anthony, did you watch Bandersnatch on Netflix?
I wanted to, and I know that it's basically like a interactive movie that you choose what happens, essentially. And I haven't gotten around to it, but I do agree with you on this part. There are day movies and there are night movies, and Inception is absolutely a night movie.
Yeah.
When do you guys watch comedies?
I watched The Cable Guy start to finish, and I like that nighttime. Did you know, this is crazy, Lou Holtz's son, Lou Holtz Jr., wrote The Cable Guy?
Really?
It's his only writing credit. It's his only movie. And I was like, this can't be the actual Lou Holtz. I thought it was like Judd Apatow or Ben Stiller, who also had a part in the development and making of that movie, using like maybe someone's a Notre Dame fan and just wanted this alias. No. Lou Holtz Jr. had an interaction with a cable guy that was a lot like that movie. Not fighting him in medieval times, but a cable guy that would just linger, not go away, and want to be his friend. And he was this powerful attorney in LA, and I guess he knew the right people, and he's like, I'm going to make that into a movie. It is his only writing credit? And I think there's a reason why Chip Douglas has a speech impediment. The lisp makes a lot more sense when you realize that it's Lou Holtz's son. But Lou Holtz's son, famed Lou Holtz of Notre Dame fame, and then sneezing on ESPN's postgame coverage fame, he had a son that wrote The Cable Guy, and that's all he did.
So if we want to go back to 2010 for a second, because Inception was what came out in 2010, can we talk about Leo's run, Inception and Shutter Island, in a one-year span? I mean, Shutter Island was good, and if you haven't seen it, please go watch it.
Shutter Island, I've seen. That was really good. A little creepy, obviously, but that's what they're going for. It was good.
Come on.
I think Shutter Island is like his weakest movie.
Wow. Well, you could say his weakest movie, but to do two of those movies in 1 year is really good.
When did
The Departed come out in 1 year?
When did The Departed come out? 2006, 2007?
Let's see.
I will never get
that sick. That is strange that you bring up those two movies. While I agree, like, Inception was popular, like, I don't think of those two movies as movies people hold up. Like, they think of more like Departed and what are Leo's best movies? Django, I guess?
I would say Django's Departed. Good. Departed. The Revenant is not very good, and that just seemed like a lifetime achievement award. Honestly, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that's pretty high on the rewatchability factor, and I didn't think it would be. When I was watching it, I'd be like, okay, that's the only time I'd experience that. But he plays it so pitch perfect, so subtly, that you really don't even catch like how funny his performance is in that. And also Wolf of Wall Street, I think.
Yeah.
Shout out to that, because comedically, I didn't think he would be this funny actor. That movie's hilarious, and physical comedy coming from Leonardo DiCaprio. Chris, can you do me the favor? And I know you owe us like 10 different Fast and the Furious movies in succession as a grid of death punishment. And
yes.
Get to it when you get to it. I would really love to hear a Chris Cody review of Inception. I would die to know what you think of this movie, because it's a little confusing.
I was planning on watching King of Staten Island tonight, but maybe I'll try to get my wife. Whoa, Tony.
Anthony. No, this is my date night tonight. I'm watching King of Staten Island.
Yes.
I cannot wait to complain about how long a Judd Apatow movie is. Tony, you're not down for this?
I'm not. Tonight is the Five Bloods, a Spike Lee joint night for me and my wife. So that's our date night movie.
Fair enough. And I do want to get around to this Chappelle thing. Roy actually saw the Chappelle special, which dropped at like 2 a.m. last night, and I went to bed at 9:30 p.m. So I woke up. By the time I woke up, I was a lot closer to the release than I was when I fell asleep. Roy, is this poignant? Does this capture the zeitgeist? Is Dave Chappelle leading with his platform by example? What can you tell me about this new Netflix special?
It's very poignant and very topical. It seems like this was done maybe last week or earlier this week.
Really?
It's pretty fresh.
I think it said June 6th on it.
Yeah.
So like not even a week ago.
So what's the audience situation? Because I always wondered how people are going to make stand-up comedy specials. Is there a socially distanced crowd? How does it go about this?
Yeah, they were socially distanced and they were masked. And there wasn't a lot of laughs because he was basically going over incidents in black history, you know, and death. So it's more poignant than it was funny.
Really?
Did he focus at all on the pandemic at all? Did he make fun of that at all? Or was it just about black lives?
No, in the pandemic. He did not talk about the pandemic.
Man, his observations are so good. And obviously, there are more important things than the pandemic. Obviously, when you turn on the TV, people are pushing the pandemic aside to a degree because there's so many important things. But a stand-up comedian having to perform and not really address what's going on in the crowd, everybody with their masks, and the fact that this is not happening in the theater, would have loved to have heard his take on that. But obviously, he's prioritizing the more important issue at this time. So definitely endorse it. Definitely get around to it. Maybe watch it in four parts throughout a couple of days.
It's 30 minutes long, so... Yeah,
about a week it'll take me to get through it.
Yeah, she just started crawling this week, so you're gonna have to give me a week and a half on the 30-minute special.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I saw a picture of standing too. I thought I saw that. Not to broadcast stuff, not your business. But
I mean, part of me, I'm like, I have to keep it real with you guys, and I addressed this a little bit on the most recent Mystery Crate, the Reddit AMA. I'm so jealous of you guys being home this entire time with your babies. It's probably a really cool experience because you're catching stages in development day to day that probably you wouldn't be concentrating so much on. But I automatically feel better every time I hear Graceland on Chris Cody's mic. So,
you can probably hear it right now. My wife is gone today, so I am home alone with her, and it might be a rough one today for me.
Ooh, daddy daycare.
Yeah. She wants to talk. Hey, you want to talk?
Hi.
Yeah. All right. There she is.
All right. Grayson, she sounds beautiful. I don't know what happened to Billy. Billy dropped out, but why would he stick around for just a couple guys cutting it up about their daughters?
I feel like we found a flow here. Like always with this Zoom setup, Grayson, please. With this Zoom setup, we have a little clunkiness at the beginning, but we found our flow. We're dancing now, boys. Are we ending this dance?
We're going to end this dance right now. And I don't even know if it's so much a Zoom thing. Granted, that's a hurdle as it is. Hey, we've been doing our own things on the local hour and we're trying to get everybody involved and we're trying to figure out who speaks now. We're trying to involve calls. So I'm going to keep it real with you. I think this episode was mostly junk, mostly. And then, we got self-involved.
I think you gotta, you know, be easy on yourself. Like, it was a little awkward at the beginning, but I think like 10 or 15 minutes in, we found a flow and we were dancing.
Cool. I think Chris and Billy not watching Inception really nuked the entire Lauer, if you want me to be honest.
I think that's where it got good.
I think we got something good. All right. Your homework assignment. Watch Inception. You have a daughter, so watch in a few parts and report back. We need your review of Inception. Maybe we'll get to that next week. Or maybe we'll keep doing our own thing with the local hours.
You never know.